Let's pray as we prepare to open our Bibles together. Father, we thank you today for the privilege we have of coming to you. Lord, we have great needs, and you are a great God. We ask that you will bless us today, that you will give us that which we need. Thank you that you have promised to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke 11, this is our central text for today. And it's fascinating to me as I look at this illustration from Jesus. A lot of times when Jesus was sharing, he told parables. But as I look at this story, instead of telling a parable, Jesus puts you and I in a very interesting situation. This is Luke 11 and verse 5. Listen as Jesus says to us today, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. I want us to really imagine this, because that is what Jesus is asking us to do. It is midnight, and a friend suddenly shows up at your house. Now, I want you to briefly look around this room as Jesus tells the story and realize that you have nothing to give the guests that have just arrived. There is no food to give them. And so you get in your car and you drive to the nearest church member's house. And what time is it? Midnight. And you begin knocking at this church member's door. Now it helps us to place ourselves in the time of Jesus, where their houses were often essentially one room. And by the time you got everybody bedded down for the night, there was not a lot of space left. Everybody was pretty well packed in. And you know, you're picturing what is going on inside this house as you begin pounding on the door. The voice from inside, a very sleepy voice, says, don't bother me. My door is shut. My children are with me in bed. My children are bedded down. I cannot get up and give you what you need. And what is your response? I need 3 loaves of bread for my visitors. I can't get up right now. Go away. My friend, I need 3 loaves of bread because my visitors need to be fed. Jesus says, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Do you feel uncomfortable being that person pounding at your friend's door? Why would you persist? The first time that the voice inside says, go away, what would motivate you to keep knocking at the door. What is it? Your friend that has just arrived has a need. And you are there determined that you are going to provide for the need of your friend. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the last time you knew someone needed something and you didn't have it to give to them. What was your response? If you're anything like me, your first response, natural human response, is, I hope they go away. Or, I hope they don't even look in my direction, because I don't want to deal with this problem. Avoidance, defense, maybe even irritation. It's hard when someone asks you for something that you do not have. What is fascinating to me is that this story is in a very important and key context of your Bible. You're there in Luke 11. And we are now in Luke 11, looking at verse 1. Looks like my clicker is not clicking. So if you can go to the next slide for me, I'd appreciate that. So the disciples are looking at Jesus. Keep the story. Keep in mind the story of the friend pounding on his friend's door. It came to pass as Jesus was praying, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Why would Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray? It's because they had watched Jesus, and they realized that the life of Jesus had something powerful. There was something essential about the life of Jesus. There was something that worked in Jesus' life. They realized that their lives were not like the life of Jesus. And they sensed that Jesus' continual and constant prayer life had something to do with this reality that permeated him, this thing that seemed to carry him through. And so they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, would you please teach us to pray? And so Jesus gave them the prayer outline that we find here in Luke 11, verses 2 through 4. And by the way, this is an outline. It wasn't intended just to be a rote, memorized prayer that one could pray without even thinking. It has several essential parts to it, primarily a recognition of who God is. And it's a recognition that encourages us to come to Him. It's a recognition of the value of His kingdom and a request that His kingdom be a reality here on this earth as it is in heaven. And then His model prayer goes on that our needs would be met physically and spiritually. And it's interesting to me that once Jesus gets through giving us this model outline of prayer, He immediately goes into the story that we have just looked at. He immediately goes into this story of a man going to his friend asking for bread. Why? What is the connection between the Lord's Prayer and a persistent friend? I believe an understanding of this story, a genuine understanding of this story, will teach us, will revolutionize prayer for each one of us. There is a chapter in the book Christ Object Lessons that I would encourage you to read. It is entitled Asking to Give. And I believe the primary principle of a vibrant prayer life is all about asking to give. Our lives only have significance as long as we have a mission in life. Have you ever found yourself discouraged and realized that you really didn't sense a purpose for your life? Have you ever had this sense that you really had no direction and realized that you needed something to revitalize the direction in which you needed to go? I believe the core of the Christian life and the core of a meaningful prayer life comes when we realize our mission and when we couple that realization with an element called persistence and determination. So two key elements that we are examining today that will bring vibrancy and life to prayer. And that is a sense of mission and persistence and determination. So back to the story. Why are you pounding on your friend's door at midnight? It is because you are on a mission. If you were hungry, you would probably wait until morning. But because your friend is hungry, you are knocking on that door until you walk away with 3 loaves of bread. There is a powerful element in prayer called faith. If we think about Hebrews 11 and 12, you're familiar with Hebrews 11 if you have read it. And it talks about the heroes of Scripture. They were people who believed God, people who had faith in God, people who persevered and pressed forward because they owned a mission. If we go to Hebrews 11, our next slide here, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And if we can go to the next part of this verse, the next slide we have here, here's the secret. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, the beginning and the end, the one who defines what real faith is. When we look at Jesus, we discover something, and that is, in order to have a real Christian experience, it has to be a 100% experience. If you look in the hands of Jesus as he walks this earth, you will find no time card. You do not have him punching in and 8 hours later punching out and finishing the rest of the day finding something to kill time. Jesus was 100% devoted to the mission of knowing and carrying out his Father's mission. That was what life was all about for Jesus. I'm convinced that for many of us, the reason we've experienced stagnation or staleness in a Christian life is because Christianity is our hobby, our sideline. It is not what moves us. It is not what directs every step we take. It's not what motivates everything that we do. You see, we can't expect to be part-time Christians and have a full-time experience. Part-time Christianity is not Christianity at all. It's a sideline, but it is not full and complete. When we look to Jesus and we really ask, what does it take to have a full, genuine experience? How can this thing of Christianity actually become a life passion and dream? We need to see what Jesus' mission was. Our next slide has a key text, John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus expresses his mission. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." So what was Jesus' mission? That they may have life. Jesus didn't come to this earth and say, "How can I have the best experience for me?" Jesus came and he said, "How can I share the best experience with them?" Everything about the life of Jesus was all about sharing with others. And I would throw this thought in, the realization that Jesus had the most incredible life possible because he was here to share life with those around him. That's the secret to life, is finding out how to share with others. Jesus' mission was providing for other people's needs. Jesus' mission was making everlasting life possible for those around him. And so we ask, what was the prayer life of Jesus all about? What do we hear as Jesus approaches his Father in prayer? There are a few clues. We're going to Luke 11, verse 9. And our next slide here, we will look at that text in just a moment. But I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. It's another familiar text, but I want us to get this burned into our minds. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you." Do you hear a confidence in Jesus' voice? Do you realize that he is not giving an uncertain, "If you ask, maybe something might eventually happen"? 1 John 5. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I want us to listen to the voice of Jesus as he kneels in prayer to his Father. And he looks around him and he sees the vast needs of the people around him. He sees people who are hungry. He sees people who are spiritually starving. He sees people who are trapped in their addictions. And he goes to his Father and he begins asking for what the people need around him. Do you hear any uncertainty in the voice of Jesus as he makes requests of his Father that he might have what he needs to minister to those around him? Do you sense in Jesus' voice any hopelessness due to the magnitude of the need? As I try to hear the voice of Jesus, what I hear is complete confidence, because he knows that he is approaching the throne of omnipotence. He knows he is approaching the limitless source of strength and love for the universe. He is not asking in uncertainty. Jesus knows that there is absolutely nothing that he needs that his Father does not have. And he knows that his Father is completely eager and willing to supply everything that he needs. And that is why, as we see Jesus getting up from his time of prayer, he walks as one who has just been given everything they need to carry out the mission that he needed to carry out. We see Jesus with so much to give. And we think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have that kind of treasure? What would it be like if we could get up in the morning and leave our home with every confidence that we have everything that we need to be able to supply the needs of anyone that we might encounter? I would suggest to you that that is what Jesus wants every one of us to receive every morning. This, I believe, is the secret to prayer. If we go to our Heavenly Father and our desire is to share with those around us, he is going to give us what they genuinely need. And not only will he give us what they need, he will give us an understanding of what they need. Sometimes our greatest difficulty is when someone asks for something, is really knowing, do they really need it? If I give this to them, will it really help them? But if we are spending time with our Heavenly Father, he has promised that he will give us wisdom so that we will know what the need is. And then he will give us every resource that we need. And so I would like for you to consider with me what it is like to look around at your family, your friends, your classmates, your co-workers, your neighbors. And you look around and you see needs all around you. And you realize, like that man with the midnight visitor, you do not have anything that they need. You kneel in prayer and you find that Jesus is beside you. And you find him leading you into his Father's presence. And as Jesus leads you into his Father's presence, you look around and suddenly you realize that you are surrounded with the treasures of the Almighty God. You suddenly realize that there is nothing that these people that you are so concerned about need that you cannot have from heaven's treasury. And so you start asking. And you start asking as Jesus guides you in what to ask for. You start asking for more. And as you spend some time there in the Father's presence, you're just about to leave because you feel like you have received enough. And Jesus gently invites you to stay just a little bit longer. And you discover that as you linger in the Father's presence, there is so much more that He wants to give you. There is an abundance, and He just wants to load you up with so much to give to those who are around you. And as you get up off your knees, you suddenly discover that there is a God who can give far more than you had ever imagined. There is a key to prayer that we find in the life of Jacob. Jacob, years before, had left home empty. Now he had flocks, herds, and a large family. And God had bidden him go back home. He was traveling toward home when he received a message that his brother Esau was on his way out with a large army, determined to get revenge for his deception in the past. Jacob suddenly realizes that his whole life he had been relying on deception and trickery to be able to be equipped with what he needed. Now, seemingly having everything, he realizes he has no way truly to defend himself. And so he decides that he is going to go take some time to pray. As he kneels there in prayer by the brook Jabbok, suddenly a hand grabs his shoulder. Now, from everything we read, it seems that Jacob was no weakling. He was a powerful person. And so as soon as his hand grabs his shoulder, he realizes he is in an area where there are a lot of thieves and robbers. And he immediately goes into full-out combat mode. And there is a full-fledged wrestling match going on. This wrestling match goes on for hours. Jacob, determined by his own strength to overcome the assailant. And there comes into Jacob's mind this question, because he's realizing he's not overcoming. He's not winning this wrestling match. Suddenly, his assailant reaches out and touches his thigh, and it goes out of joint. And that which I am somewhat suspicious Jacob may have thought might be possible, he now realizes is true. The one wrestling with him is not an enemy. The one wrestling with him is God Himself. Suddenly, Jacob starts a real wrestling match. It's not as though his efforts decrease. In fact, the intensity of the battle increases when Jacob realizes who this is. You see, Jacob now has a very specific and special request. In Genesis 32:24, God says to Jacob, "Let me go, because the sun is rising." Here is Jacob's response: "I will not let you go until you bless me." There is no pride in this statement. This is the words of a man who is determined that he is not going to leave the presence of God. He is not going to leave this time of prayer until he knows that he has what he needs in order to be able to go out and go on from there. "I will not let you go," until you bless me. I'm going to give you a challenge. There are people in your life who need God's blessing. There are people even in your life that you've given up on. Because you've looked at them and you've said, I don't see how I could do anything for this person. There are people who you are desperately trying to help. I would challenge you to go to God in prayer. Because He has invited you to come. And I would challenge you in prayer to decide that you are not going to stop until you have the assurance of the presence of God. Until you know that He has brought your life into such harmony with His that you are ready to be equipped to go out and to share what He wants you to share. Very quickly, I realized in the Lord's Prayer there is a powerful element that easily missed. If you are praying the Lord's Prayer with a focus on yourself, it can get stagnant. But isn't it interesting that when Jesus teaches us to pray, He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Lord's Prayer is not a self-centered prayer. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer for all of our family, our neighbors, our church. The Lord's Prayer is a petition that we would receive that which we need. And I believe as we pray in faith, as we are asking to give, we will discover a vibrancy and a life in prayer that we have never discovered before. I'd like to invite our song leaders to come. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. When you go to God in prayer, knowing that He is eager to give you what you need. When you go to God in prayer, trusting in His power to provide. It is going to be a sweet experience of trust. We are so thankful that You are eager to give us that which we need. Lord, I pray that You would give us a persistence that overrides our own weakness, our own barriers to receiving from You that which we need. Lord, give us a vision. A vision that helps us understand that we can be powerful agents of change in our world. Help us to realize that You are able to give us everything that we need so that we can be a blessing to those around us. Transform our hearts today. And I just pray that as we continue into these 10 days of prayer, that You would continue to teach us to pray. We thank You for the blessings that You have promised will come. We are eager for You to speak through us. Please guide us, guide our church, that we may be faithful to You. May Your coming be soon. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.